Al-Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, As-salatu was-salamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As-salamu alaykum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our series, Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. We have reached hadith 23, purification is half of faith.
الحديث الثالث والعشرون عن أبي مالك الحارث بن عاصم الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان والحمد لله تملأ الميزان وسبحان الله والحمد لله تملأان أو تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض والصلاة نور والصدقة برهان والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فبائع نفسه فمعتقها أو موبقها رواه مسلم.
On the authority of Abu Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, purification is half of the faith. The phrase Alhamdulillah fills the scale. The phrases Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah together fill, or each fill, what is between the heavens and the earth. Prayer is a light, charity is a proof, patience is a brightness, the Quran is either an argument for you or against you, and everyone goes out in the morning and sells himself, either freeing or destroying himself. This hadith has been recorded by Muslim. This hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, touches upon some of the most important deeds, such as purity, dhikr, or remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salat or prayer, charity, sabr, patience, abiding by the Quran, and the ultimate journey of mankind. So my dear brothers and sisters, this hadith shows us the importance of these great deeds in Islam, through which every Muslim can free him or herself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. One has to free oneself from any kind of enslavement except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One has to be a true servant of Allah, a true slave of Allah, and not to anyone or anything else. The narrator of this hadith is Abu Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari radiyallahu an. He radiyallahu an was from the Ash'ari tribe in Yemen and was one of their delegation that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He lived in Ash-Sham in the greater Syria, and he died there during the plague in the year 18 after Hijrah radiyallahu an. 27 hadith have been recorded on his authority, which have been recorded by Muslim, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah. May Allah have mercy upon them all. Now the first part of this hadith.
الطهور شطر الإيمان.
Purity is half of Iman, or purity is half of the faith. Now there have been many opinions by the ulama regarding the meaning of this statement. Purity is half of Iman. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, Iman, faith, is a withdrawal and beautification. As for withdrawal, it is to withdraw from shirk, or to keep away and abstain from shirk, since committing shirk with Allah is filthy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says,
Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu innamal mushrikuuna najasun fala الحرام بعد عامهم هذا.
Those who commit shirk with Allah are filthy, so do not let them come near Masjid al-Haram in Mecca after this year. And this ayah is found in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 28. As a result, he says, rahimahullah, purification is half of Iman. It is also said the meaning is purifying for the prayer is half of Iman, since prayer is iman and it's not complete without purification, even though the first meaning is better and universal. My dear brothers and sisters, at-tuhur with the dhamma on the ta, it means to clean up, and it can refer to clean up or purify oneself from the minor and major impurity. But when we pronounce at-tahur with a fatha on the ta, then it means what is used for purification, such as water or earth or dirt in the absence of water when we make tayammum. So at-tuhur means the actual act of purification, doing the actions of wudu, for example. But as we said, when we say at-tahur with the fatha on the ta, refers to the water or that which is being used as a cleaning agent. And purification, my dear brothers and sisters, is of two types. It can be the physical purification, such as making wudu and ghusl and removing impurities from oneself, and also the spiritual or internal purification, such as purifying the heart from all evil. And the greatest evil and the greatest disease is that of shirk. The next part of the hadith,
والحمد لله تملأ الميزان.
And alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah, fills the scale. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, the word alhamd is praise for the provider of favor. It is a statement that if a person utters it, it would fill the scale of deeds on the day of resurrection, because good deeds and bad deeds will be weighed on the day of resurrection on the mizan, or on the scales. It is a word a slave is required to utter with sincerity and praise Allah with sincerity and attach gratitude to the favors and direct it towards Allah's obedience. Alhamdulillah is not to be uttered with the tongue alone. It should rather be with the tongue and in action as well. My dear brothers and sisters, regarding the mizan, we believe in the mizan or the scale or balance which will weigh people's deeds on the day of resurrection, as this is proven in the Quran and Sunnah, and has been described to have two pans in which good deeds and bad deeds will be placed, as is mentioned in the authentic narrations. The next part of the hadith,
وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ تَمْلَآنِ أَوْ تَمْلَأُ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ.
The phrase Subhanallah, high is Allah above every imperfection and need, He is pure and perfect, and Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah, together fill, or each fill, what is between the heavens and the earth. Now regarding the wording here, the narrator of the hadith could not recall if each of these statements fill what is between the heaven and the earth, or if the two of them together fill what is between the heaven and earth. In either case, my dear brothers and sisters, it definitely points to the importance of these two phrases, as these two phrases fill the space between the heavens and the earth. Now, subhanallah, my dear brothers and sisters, generally translated as glory be to Allah, consists of two words which have a heavy meaning. When we say subhanallah, we are freeing Allah from what does not befit Him, freeing Him from partners, and freeing Him from any deficiencies and blemishes. In other words, we are saying, high is Allah above every imperfection and need, and affirming that He is pure and perfect, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we are saying subhanallah, we are denying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has any shortcomings or any imperfection or any defect whatsoever, and therefore affirming that He is complete and perfect and not in need of anyone or anything. This also denies that He could have or be in need of a spouse, son, and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free, for example, of any imperfection or blemish with respect to His names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said,
وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا.
And to Allah belongs the most beautiful and excellent names. And many other ayat and ahadith show and point to the fact that Allah is perfect and free of any shortcomings or blemishes or imperfections. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these two phrases, my dear brothers and sisters, subhanallah walhamdulillah, are of great importance and have a huge and beautiful meaning, as we have mentioned. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he says, so if a person utters these two words in truth and with sincere intention, they will feel what is between the heaven and the earth. in spite of the space between the heaven and earth due to the greatness of these two words, not due to their utterance, but due to their meaning and acting on them. The aim is not to utter them with the tongue alone, rather, one must act upon them. My dear brothers and sisters, what we have taken so far in this hadith shows and demonstrates the importance and the great reward of dhikr, or remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he calls dhikr the food for the hearts, the weapon by which one fights, the cure for the diseases, and the connection between the servant and his Lord, as he mentions in Madarij al-Salikin. Therefore, every Muslim should try to increase in his dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what deed he's about to do, he should always try to keep Allah in mind, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, it is when we forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are more liable and more vulnerable and may fall into sins. Indeed, when we forget about Allah, the heart begins to die. The heart may become dead, although we may be physically living. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, similitude, or the example of one who remembers his Lord and the one who does not, is like that of the living and the dead, as is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. And as we know, my dear brothers and sisters, dhikr is of different types and may be done at many different times throughout the day, such as the morning and evening dhikr, such as the dhikr after each salat, after each of our prayers when we conclude, and there's also dhikr on certain situations and occasions, such as when leaving one's home, when eating, when finishing eating, when entering the masjid, when leaving the masjid, and so on and so forth. My dear brothers and sisters, when making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to recite this dhikr with full awareness and understanding of its meaning to fully benefit from these adhkar. Also, we need to maintain and be regular and continuous with these adhkar. As we know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the most beloved deeds to Allah are those which are constant and regular, even if they are few. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورُ.
Prayer is a light. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, prayer is light, which means a light in the heart. If the heart enlightens, then the face becomes enlightened. It is also a light on the day of resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says,
يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ.
On that day, you will see the believing men and believing women. Light will be running before them and by their right hands. And this ayah is in Surah Al-Hadid, ayah 12. And the Shaykh continues to say, it is also light in relation to guidance, knowledge, and everything else that has light within it. Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in regards to the prayer is light, that the obligatory and voluntary prayers are light in the face. Hence, you will find darkness and dullness on the faces of those who are negligent of the prayer, and we seek Allah's refuge. And you find brightness, light, and cheerfulness on the faces of those who preserve the obligatory prayers and observe the night prayers. This is something clear to the people if you ponder over it. So the prayer is light for you in your face, light for you on the sirat, and light for you in your conduct and life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says,
إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ.
Verily, the prayer prevents al-fahsha, meaning great evil sins of every kind, and al-munkar, disbelief, and every kind of evil wicked deed. And this ayah is in Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 45. Allah also says,
وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ.
And seek help in patience and the prayer. And truly, it is extremely heavy and hard, except for al-khashi'een, the true believers in Allah, those who obey Allah with full submission, fear Him much from His punishment, and believe in His promise and in His warnings, meaning in paradise and hell. So the issue of prayer is important. My dear brothers and sisters, according to Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, prayer is indeed a light for the believers in their lives. It is also a light in their hearts and delights the inner parts of the body. They will be guided by the salah and will be given enlightenment and satisfaction in their hearts. This is why the salah is a delight of the eyes of the righteous people. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah has recorded a hadith saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say, "The delight and pleasure of my eyes is in the salah, in the prayer." So my dear brothers and sisters, this hadith shows the importance and significance of the prayer, of the salah, for the true believer, for the believer who always performs it in its right time and right way. The next part of the hadith.
وَالصَّدَقَةُ بُرْهَانُ.
Charity is a proof, or charity is a evidence. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, it is evidence proving the sincerity of the one giving charity and that he loves being near to Allah, since wealth is beloved to the soul. One does not depart with something beloved except for the sake of something more beloved. Every person that strives for the sake of the one he loves, hoping for the reward, this is an evidence of his sound iman, faith, and strong certainty. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, and charity is evidence. Sadaqah here refers to giving one's wealth in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying here that sadaqah is burhan, or evidence, meaning a proof of the soundness of one's iman. Because no one can be generous with wealth despite his love for it, except one who has iman in his heart. Otherwise, wealth is something indeed to the soul, and the soul is stingy. So if a person offers it in obedience to Allah, it is a proof of his iman, in the sense that wealth is cheaper in his sight in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for a hypocrite, he does not give sadaqah, he does not give charity, rather he closes his hands from giving charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, and that they offer not contributions, but unwillingly. And this ayah is found in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 54. And Allah also says, and they close their hands, meaning they close their hands from giving or spending in Allah's cause, in giving charity. And this ayah is also found in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 67. The Shaykh continues to say, hafizahullah, therefore, charity is a proof, and not giving charity or a lack of it is a proof of nifaq or hypocrisy, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the hypocrites with. Now, burhan, my dear brothers and sisters, literally means rays, or the sunlight in Arabic. So this is emphasizing here that charity is a bright and clear proof like the sunlight. It is a proof that reflects the iman of the believer. The next part of the hadith.
وَالصَّبْرُ ضِيَاءُ.
And patience is a brightness. Now, al-diyaa, my dear brothers and sisters, linguistically means brightness. And it is different from nur, or light, which was used earlier in the hadith. Al-diyaa is more powerful than nur, because he not only gives out light, but also heat. While on nur gives out only a shining light. And this is why in the Quran, the term diya is used for sunlight, which besides its light has heat or high temperature. But the term an-nur is used for the moonlight, which gives out only light and does not emit or discharge heat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, He is the one who has made the sun an illumination and the moon as light. So patience is a brightness, or it is illumination, meaning light along with warmth. So the Prophet ﷺ, he described patience as being brightness or illumination, meaning light along with heat or warmth. So Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he says, rahimahullah, the sun has light and warmth within it. Patience is likewise, since it is difficult upon the soul, thus he is assisted and supported by it, just as a person is assisted and supported by warmth and heat. Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, patience is restraining the self upon the obedience of Allah, and it is of three types: patience upon obedience to Allah, patience in abstaining from sin, and patience with the decree of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are patient, as he says,
وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ.
Have patience, verily Allah is with those who are patient. This ayah is found in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 46. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said that as long as the person has praiseworthy patience, he will have a light and guidance that will keep him along the straight path. So this demonstrates, my dear brothers and sisters, the great importance of patience, especially since during times of hardship, people may easily stray from the straight path as they seek any solution to their problems, whether it is permissible or forbidden. Also, during times of ease, when people have wealth, time, and ability to engage in forbidden acts, they need patience to keep them along the straight path. Hence, this brightness or illumination or light of patience at various levels is needed by everyone at practically all times, at times of ease, at times of hardship, and whatever you are facing in your life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who are truly patient at all times. And moving on to the next part of the hadith.
والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك.
And the Quran is either an argument for or against you, or the Quran is a proof for you or against you. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, the Quran is a proof for you or evidence for you or argument for you, meaning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a proof or argument or evidence against you. If you act in accordance with it, it is a proof or argument for you. If you turn away from it, it is a proof or argument against you. Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, the Quran revealed by Allah to his messenger is in order to guide mankind and explain the truth from falsehood. If you act upon it, it will become a plea or a proof for you in the sight of Allah on the day of resurrection. But if you abandon it or leave it, it will become a plea or a proof or an argument against you. You do not have any excuse for not carrying out what has been revealed in the Quran, because the Quran has come to you and it is being recited in the masajid, in the gatherings, on the radio stations, and so on and so forth. The Shaykh continued to say, hafidhullah, also the Quran has been made easy for whoever intends to learn it, and this is part of establishing proof against mankind. So you will always see the copy of the Quran, you will always hear the recitation of the Quran, and you will always recite the Quran. The Quran has indeed reached you. Therefore, there will be no excuse for anyone to say on the day of resurrection, I did not know and nothing reached me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says,
قَدْ كَانَتْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَكُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ تَنْكِصُونَ.
Indeed, my verses used to be recited to you, but you used to turn back on your heels, meaning deny them, and with hatred to listen to them. This ayah is in Surah Al-Mu'minun, ayah 66. Hence the Quran is a proof or a plea or an argument for you if you implement it and act upon it, or a plea or proof or argument against you if you abandon it and avoid implementing it. So my dear brothers and sisters, this shows or highlights the role the Quran should have in our lives, that the Quran is a book of guidance. The Quran is a healing, is a cure for all our problems and illnesses and sicknesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says,
وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ نارا.
We send down the Quran, that which is a healing and a mercy for those who believe, and for the unjust people, it causes nothing but loss after loss. This ayah is found in Surah Al-Isra, ayah 82. So my dear brothers and sisters, the people who recite the Quran, learn it, and practice its rulings are people who become the people of the Quran, and it, the Quran, will be a proof for them. But those who ignore the Quran and never read or practice it in their lives, then the Quran will stand against them on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah to make us from the people of the Quran, who read the Quran, who contemplate and ponder over the Quran, who memorize the Quran, and most importantly, those who live and act upon the Quran. And finally, the last part of the hadith.
كل الناس يغدو فبائع نفسه فمعتقها أو موبقها.
And everyone goes out in the morning and sells himself, either freeing or destroying himself. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, every person begins his day, works hard, and tires himself. From them are those who free their souls, and from them are those who ruin them, meaning they destroy them by their actions. If he acts in obedience to Allah and upholds his legislation, he frees his soul, meaning he frees it from the slavery of shaitan and desire. If the opposite is the case, he ruins it. He destroys his soul, meaning he destroys himself. Therefore, it is necessary for a Muslim to keep this in his mind and to be cautious when going out by preserving his hearing, his sight, and his limbs, so as to be among those who ransom themselves and save themselves. But if he does not protect these limbs, these faculties, he will certainly be among those who destroy themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says,
قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا.
Successful indeed is the one who purifies their soul, and doomed is the one who corrupts it. And these ayat are found in Surah Al-Shams, ayah 9 and 10. Now Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, while commenting on this meaning, said the person who struggles to worship Allah and obeys Him is the one who frees himself, and the one who indulges in sins is the one who destroys himself. So my dear brothers and sisters, to summarize and conclude, this hadith has many benefits, many lessons. This hadith guides us and shows us how to gain rewards in our lives, and also how to save ourselves from Allah's punishment. It leads us to practice the most important of actions, such as purification, dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, prayer, charity, and these are all important deeds. And other than them, and these deeds are important ways to free ourselves from the punishment of Allah. And every day when we leave our homes, we are basically in a transaction. We are basically exchanging something. We are selling or buying. We can either be purifying ourselves and saving ourselves from the punishment of Allah, and therefore earning His reward, or selling ourselves and destroying ourselves by falling into sin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and aid us to that which is best for us in this life and the next. So this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, mentions many good attributes and cautions and warns against evil traits. It is an important methodology for the Muslim to follow in his life and reflect on his salvation. All praises for Allah, who has provided for us plenty of opportunity to perform righteous deeds. When a slave commits a sin, Allah provides him ample opportunity for repentance and does not hasten to punish him. He only grants him respite and chance so that the slave will examine himself to see whether he will destroy it, meaning his soul, or save it with his deeds and behavior. Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, in his conclusion on this hadith, he said, we also learn from this hadith the importance of living by the Quran and being from the people of the Quran, as we want the Quran to be for us on the Day of Judgment and not against us. So we have to live according to the Quran, and by extension, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And with that, we conclude today's lesson. Wallahu a'lam, sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.